Turn back to Colossians chapter 3. There is a whole host in glory that perfectly know, and adore Jesus Christ as all in all. He has perfect worship there from them. He has all their attention. He has all their love. Could you imagine tonight if you really could, and I at this hour, really could give all our attention and thoughts to Him right now? I read to you over in Revelation, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb." They're still singing it. They are still singing it. And He is everything there. Everything. When John looked at the throne, he said, "I saw a lamb as it had been slain." He is praised in His sacrificial character. He's the Lamb. Now, Paul is exhorting the believers here in Colossae to seek, to put forth real effort, to really strive, as Paul said in Philippians, press toward the mark, to really strive for those things which are above, those things that are eternal. I know that I spend a lot of my time during the day, and you do too, out working, and you're having to take care of these temporal things. And these temporal things get in the way. And the more stuff you have, the more stuff gets in the way. And sometimes it gets hard to set your mind on these things. But that's why being here as often as we can helps us. It really helps us to set our minds once again. It's kind of like setting the clock once again, getting the time right. It's setting it once again on things above. And it's my responsibility as a pastor to stand here and exhort you and myself to set our minds on things above and to seek them. To seek them. Seek these things earnestly. Seek these heavenly things. These earthly things are temporary. Oh, how temporary they are. Just temporary. Seek these things as peace and the love of God that's in Christ. What would you give for that? What would you give for just peace with God? What would you give to have the love of God shed abroad in the heart? Well, a person who puts great value upon that will strive for it, seek it. They'll lay themselves out to it, to finding it. And set your heart, because there's no other way to seek them. The only way to seek these things which are above is to set the heart. See, that set, you know, you set something determined. This is like when Paul went to Corinth. He said, "I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Be determined. Set it. You ever hear, well, you know, I know you've heard this. That person is set in his ways. Be set in your way to this. Be set in it. Set your heart, your mind. You see, everything has to pass through the mind if it's going to get to the heart anyway. But set your very being to this. Your affection. Set your affection on things above. Our affection is to be set on Christ and His kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How much, I can ask myself this, How much more simple would life be if I would actually do that? How much more simple would it be? If I could set my heart to seek those things which are above, to seek His kingdom, to seek His face, to seek His love, and seek His peace, oh, the journey wouldn't be nearly as hard. I make it hard. I've learned this after 53 years. I make this journey harder than it should be. I add a lot of afflictions to it. But set your heart to it. And to seek these things with the whole heart. Seek it with the whole heart. Proverbs 23:26 says this, "My son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. Whoever or whatever has your heart has you." That's who has you. Who has your heart. And we need to continually be reminded. And this is why God sends trials and heartaches. We need to continually be reminded to hold to these earthly things loosely. They come and they go. They come and they go. Perishing things of clay. And here's another reason. Seek those things which are above. For you're dead. You're dead. You're dead to this world. You're dead to sin. That's what Paul says over in Romans 6. You're dead. You're dead to the moral law. You're dead to the ceremonial law. You're dead to the judicial law. You're dead to these things by the body of Christ. They have no claims on you. Have no claims on you. Only a person who has been given life in Christ knows what that means. They know what it means to be free from the law. Free from the curse of the law. Free from the demands of the law. Free from it. When the Son sets free, He's free indeed. Free. Free. And dead to sin's damning power through Christ bearing it on the cross. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. When He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and He sweat great drops of blood and He said, "Father, if Thou wilt, let this cup pass from me." He wasn't talking about that death because He came to die. But this thing of being made sin, and God dealing with him as a sinner under His wrath, He set us free from that. We're set free from that. Free from it. And Paul is exhorting them and us, now live like you're dead to these things. Live like you're dead to them. Don't let them get a hold of you. Don't let them grab you and keep you. No, live like you're dead to these things. And live like you're alive to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Live unto Him. You could do that while you go to work, while you go to the mall. You can do that. He says, live like it. Live like you're dead to these things and alive to God Almighty. Because your life, your real life, is hid. Don't you think Satan wouldn't like to get a hold of that? But he can't touch it. It's hid with Christ in God. It's not hid someplace in a corner. It's not hid someplace in a safe. Our life is hid in God Almighty. It can't be touched. It's the life of God. Your life, he says, is the life of God. It's hid, and it's hid in Him. Your eternal life that you have in Christ, it's real. It's not something I'm going to have. It's something I do have. And the more you realize that, the more you can enjoy it. It's real, and it's in Christ who is our life. And it's to be enjoyed now. And it's to be enjoyed in God. This also shows us the safety of it. If it were hid in a safe, somebody would crack it. But here's the safety of our life that we have in Christ. It's in God. There's the safety of it. It can't be destroyed. Satan cannot touch it. Satan went to God over Job. He said, "All right, you can touch what he had." But you know what he said? "You don't touch his life. You can't touch his life. It's hid. It's in God. It's in God. No one can touch it. And God's the source of it. God is the source of this life that he's speaking of here. He's the source of it. And when Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, when Christ, who is our life, he said, "Because I live, you shall live also." The life we have is his life. It's him. It's him. "When he shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Christ, who is eternal life, is our life. He is our life here, and he's our life hereafter. And when he shall appear, we cannot see him now. He's in heaven. He's seated at God's right hand. But soon, the Lord shall appear. He's going to appear again. He's going to come and be admired of all his servants. By all his servants, all his saints. And when this happens, we shall appear with him in glory with a new glorified body. I'm glad to get rid of this one. I'm wearing it out quick. It's wearing out quick on me. I'm glad to get rid of it. This body doesn't get better, never will get better. It's just going down, down, down. It decays. Decays every day. I don't care how hard we work at it, how hard we exercise at it, it's going down. This building is coming down. This body of clay is coming down. But when he shall appear, we are going to appear with him in glory. We are going to share in his glory. And we are going to have a glorified body like his. Then shall we appear with him. Then we shall enjoy the full perfection. The full perfection of our union with him. Oh, we're going to enjoy that full perfection of our union to him. And then we'll really know what it's all about. And because of this, Paul says here in verse 5, he said, "Now because of this," is what he's leading up to, "mortify therefore." Therefore, because of this, "mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Mortify the body of indwelling sin. He's talking about these men. He's not talking about my arms or my legs. He's talking about that body of indwelling sin which uses my bodily members. He says, "Put to death that old man, that old nature. Don't feed it." That's what he's saying. It's like feeding the bears. Sooner or later, it will bite you. Stand too close to a fire, it will burn you. And that's what Paul's saying here. Mortify, fight against it. It's not dead, and you have to fight against it. And what he gives us here in these next few verses is that there is a distinct nature that's evil, and there's one that's born of God that does not sin. And that's the one you feed. That's the one you nourish. Mortify the body of indwelling sin, which uses this old body, its old clay body, to fulfill its lust and desires. He said, put it to death. Put it to death. And then he mentions the sins here. And it's the sins of that old nature, that old rotten Adamic nature that we were born with, that original sin, sinful nature. He says here, which are upon the earth, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetous, which is idolatry. Nothing good said about it, is it? There's not one good thing said about that old nature we're born with. Everything about it is absolutely corrupt. Everything about it is wretched. It has to be laid in the grave. It has to be. He says, put it to death. Because this is what brings the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. That's why, you know, God's wrath is coming against sin. It was taken out on our substitute. This is what he suffered and died for. That same wrath that's coming on the children of disobedience came on and fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't have to bear that. We don't have to bear that because he put it away. He put it away. In the which you also walked, you were just as guilty. He said, well, I didn't have done any of those things. Paul said you walked in them. If you didn't do it outwardly, you did it inwardly. You can mark it down. You walked in them. You lived in them. You even gloried in your shame in them. It says, he said here, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. You lived, you wallowed in it. You know, believers face up to sin, don't they? They do. We face up to our sinfulness, our wretchedness, and we seek mercy and grace and forgiveness. You're right. We lived in it. Drink iniquity like water at one time. At one time. But now also, he says, put off all these. Put these off also. Sins of the tongue and of the spirit. Anger. You ever get angry? We still get angry, don't we? Man's born of God, never going to get angry again. Oh, you'll get angry again. You'll get angry again. He says, put it off. Fight against it. Recognize where it's coming from. Recognize which nature it's coming from. You ever think of something, you say, that's not of God. You have thoughts, you say, you know, I know that's not of God. That thought's not of the Lord. Wrath? The wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. Malice? Blasphemy? Filthy communication out of your mouth? We're not capable of any of this now. Oh, yes, we are. Yes, we are. We still have that old nature. And I tell you what, if you feed it, that's what's going to come out. That's what you're going to get tripped up with, these things. Lie not one to another. Be honest with one another. I don't lie anymore. God saved me. I tell you what. Only by the grace of God are we honest. Now, God's people are honest people. By His grace. By His grace. Seeing ye have put off, you've put off, you don't wear this old man. He's not the dominant person. That's what he's saying. He's not the dominant person anymore. Put off the old man with his deeds. These are his trademarks. This is how you will know him by these things that Paul has mentioned. Put him off. And put on. Put on. It's like you would a clean suit. You put off a dirty suit, you put on a clean suit. He says, put on. Wear, feed, nourish, take care of this new man. And have put on the new man, which is renewed, that is, regenerated, created. That's what he's saying there. This new man, he is regenerated. He's the regenerated man. He's the new created man. He says, put him on, which is renewed after or in the not renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. This new man is created, it says over in Ephesians 4, in righteousness and true holiness. And put him on. Feed him. Nourish him. This is the man to feed. This is the man from the Lord. This is the man that's renewed in knowledge and daily renewed, and daily he grows in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his life is continually coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. Continually coming from Christ. And then Paul says here in verse 11, as far as this new man is concerned, that's created in the image of him, of the image of him who created him, in this new man, Christ is all. Christ is all. He's all in all to this new man. All in all. In him, he says here in verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. There's no religious differences, no intellectual differences. Circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarians or the Scythians, bond, those who are enslaved or free, those who are the masters. There's no difference in Christ. Because he says, for in Christ, all are one and Christ is all. In Christ, all are one and Christ is all. He's all and in all. And if we are going to make any progress in salvation, if we'll make any progress in prayer, if we make any progress at all in grace and in knowledge of Christ, it will be when Christ is all. Man will not be saved until Christ is all and in all. He is the sum and substance of the gospel. He's the very heart of the gospel. He is the good news of the gospel. Christ is. He's all. In the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ is all. It says in Acts 10:43, to him give all the prophets witness. This book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And in the scriptures, we find that Christ is all in eternity. Listen to this in Proverbs 8:30. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Before the heavens and the earth were created, before anything existed, he was the delight of the Father. He delighted in him. He rejoiced in him. In eternity, he's all. And the scriptures teach us that in creation, he's all. He's all and in all. The scripture says all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Everything that exists was made by that man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's all. Not only were all things made by him, all things, it says, were made for him. Look over here in Colossians 16, chapter 1, verse 16. For by him, that is Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God didn't make this world for me. He made it for his Son. That's who he made it for. All things were made by Jesus Christ, all things were made for Jesus Christ, all things are for his glory. Even the wicked were made for him to serve his purpose, Served His purpose. The Scriptures teach us that Christ is also all, and a man will make no progress in salvation until he learns this. He is all in every way in salvation. It's not his part and my part. It's not he did most of it and I've got to do some of it. He is absolutely, absolutely 1,000% all in salvation. He is all in the accomplishment of salvation. He had no partner in this. He had no partner in it. And when he walked this earth, and it says he tread the winepress alone. Alone. I didn't help him. You didn't help him. No one during that day helped him. The whole accomplishment of salvation was laid upon his shoulders. God said, God the Father said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. It's all in his. It's all on his shoulders. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall, not we shall, not us, but he shall save his people from their sins. That's good news. That's good news. He's all in all in reconciliation. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Look over here. Let me see if I can find it. Over here in verse 20 of chapter 1, in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him, by Christ, to reconcile all things unto Himself. You know, usually, the person who does the reconciling, or tries to do the reconciling, is the one who did the offending. And they try to reconcile and make amends. But here, the offended one is the one who steps forward and does the reconciling. We were enemies in our minds, it says, by wicked works. He reconciled us. He reconciled us to God's law. He reconciled us to justice. And then He reconciled us to Himself when He gave us a new birth. Brought us to Himself. Gave us a nature to love Him. Gave us a nature that was reconciled to Him. He's all in all in reconciliation. And you that were sometime alienated, in verse 21, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you. And here's how He presents you. Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight. He reconciled you. That's how you stand before God. That's how God sees you. And that's exactly the way it is, the way God sees it. You stand before God reconciled. You stand before God in Christ, holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Now, that's the way you stand. Now, in Christ, before God. And then He's all in all in satisfaction. He's the one who satisfied justice. It wasn't me and Him. It was Him. He's the one who pleased the Father. He's the one who gave obedience. A satisfactory obedience. He's the one who gave it. Then He's all in all in our justification. We are justified in Him. In Christ we're justified. Completely cleared of all charges. Justified. He's all in all in election. He's the elect and we were chosen in Him. We were chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, but He's the elect. He's the one that we were chosen in. He's all in all in faith. He's the author of it, and He's the finisher of it. He starts it, and He'll finish it. He'll finish it. In faith, lives upon Him. He's the object of it. The just shall live by faith. But they live by faith, they live upon Him. They live looking to Him. Daily we look to Him. He's all in all in our preaching. Take Christ out of our preaching, we have nothing to say. We have no hope. We have no good news. We have nothing to leave here and talk about. If you take Christ out of preaching, He's all we have to preach. He's all of it. And He's all that we need. I'll wind this up. He's all that we need under all circumstances. He's all we need. Under all trials. It does not matter how severe the trial is. Christ is all I need. He can care. When you go through the waters, He said, I'll go with you. I won't stand on the other side and watch you and make sure nothing happens. No, I'll go with you. Are you sick? Is He not the great physician? Is He not the great physician? Your heart broke? Is He not the comforter? Is He not the God of all comfort? Poor? Is He not rich? Weary? Is He not rest? Troubled? Is He not our peace? He's all we need under all circumstances. He's my sin offering. He's my advocate. He's my great high priest. He's my hope. He's my life. Whatever I need, I have in Him. Whatever I need. And God sends trials along to make us realize this and find it out. We believe it, and then you have to live it. Then you find it out. He's all I need. And then Christ is all. He's all in glory. We will spend eternity worshiping the Lamb of God who redeemed us from our sins. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy. He's all in all in heaven. It says in Hebrews 1:6, and He saith that all the angels of God worship Him. That all the angels of God fall down. Bow down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who is all and in all.